Well, first of all, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the locals that are involved in the program. My own local, which is 2321. Dave Morris kind of heads up the program in that local. And we're, like I said earlier, we're involved in the Merrimack Valley right here in Lowell, in this whole surrounding area. We also have Linda's local, which is in Massachusetts. No, I'm sorry, New Hampshire. What's your number?
2320.
And we have a local in Maine, which is 2327. We also have a local in Vermont, which is 2326. And we have Central Massachusetts, Jimmy?
2325.
2325. We won't forget Jimmy.
Yep.
And so actually, the program started, like we said a little earlier, about 4 years ago, just in our local, and it's really spread all throughout New England. So we have coordinators and kids, and probably throughout all of these, I'm not too sure how many high schools are involved, probably at least, if I had to guess, maybe 20 to 30 high schools. And for a second, I just want to talk about exactly what the Bell Atlantic or Verizon, the summer internship is really all about. What exactly did these kids do and what did they get out of the program? Basically, if a boy or girl gets hired with the company, they do have to take a drug test, the screening test like anyone else would. They have to pass that test. They have to be drug free. And then they have to take a battery of tests. Anyone coming off the street trying to get a job at Verizon would actually have to take. And believe me, it's a tough test. A lot of people don't do too well in it. And we kind of prep the kids a little bit for the test, tutor them, kind of show them what it is. But a lot of these kids, like, they're just coming out of high school, so their brains are pretty fertile, and they do very well in the test. The test consists of, of course, algebra, math, English composition, reasoning skills, that kind of thing. But the thing is that the kids don't have to pass the test to get the job. The whole thing is just the experience that, oh my God, you know, after a while, you understand that this stuff you're learning in high school, really, I'm going to use this, I'm going to need this someday, because I may have to take a test, or I will have to take a test, to actually get a job. And I think that's important, because the kids, you know, can see that who don't do so well in the test, who still come to work for us for the summer, may go back to school and say, boy, I better, you know, look at this algebra a little bit harder, you know. So I think that's good.
We work with the teachers and the counselors in the school in order to get these kids. We don't want any kids that are going to come here and just going to sit in a truck and not get out of the truck. You know, we want them to interact and play a vital part of the job with us. You know, we want to get the right kids on the right jobs. It's not only necessarily out in the field, but we have some other jobs that are in the office also, support jobs. So
kids learn a little bit every aspect of the industry, and we flip the kids around a little bit. Some of the kids who are splicers will go in to be central office technicians or to try clerical or, you know, dispatch.
It's a real hands-on type
real,
of affair. You know, it's not they're going to sit in a chair all, you know. They give them safety training. They're always with somebody all the time. It's not like they're going to be out there footloose and fancy free. And they're expecting to do a day's work for a day's pay. These people are looking for a service, and we're the ones that are going to provide that service for them.
Each intern works daily under the guidance of an IBW mentor who is selected by the union. All the union personnel are selected by the union, and the kids generally have completed their junior year of high school when they enter into the program for the first time. All the kids who come through the program are given first refusal to come back again the second year out.
And while they're with the riding around during the course of the day, they're discussing the problems of the world, but they also discuss the workers' rights. If you have a problem with management, and how to attempt to resolve that problem. If there's relationships with a particular individual they're having a problem with, where they get. We try to resolve those things, and, you know, sometimes they have problems with their family, you know, it's like anything else, like during the course of the day, you know.
And when these kids came into the garages, it wasn't just the mentors who kind of dealt with them on a daily basis. I found that in these garages, everybody in the garage kind of adopted the kids and, you know, kept up with their progress.
Well, Linda's job is kind of unique because she coordinates all of the different states, whereas we just have to worry about, like, our particular garage and 10 or 12 students.
And I also have a very, I know you guys laugh at me, but I have a very hands-on approach where I went out and I visited each kid at least once during the summer, each student and mentor team I visited. I made sure that the kids knew what was expected of them as far as completing their labor education. I made sure that every one of the kids got union t-shirts and really felt that they were a part of the union. They weren't some kind of secondary members. They were right there with us. And in fact, I think we had a couple of grievances filed by a couple of the students.
Keeping in mind that we also had a strike looming around the corner while all this was going on, and the preparatory before the strike, and then, of course, the 2 weeks vacation that we received during the strike.
Yes. Is that funny? Linda just talked about some of the kids grieving some problem. We actually had a couple of grievances in our local where the kids filled out the form, and it went through the... Because basically, the kids are full-fledged union members, which is very important. They pay union dues. Well, probably it's not too much because they're not getting paid a heck of a lot, but, at, you know, it's
but
like
it's the
anyone,
same percentage that everybody else pays.
Right.
Absolutely. And they have to follow the same rules and safety with that we do.
But I've been in the company nearly 30 years, and one of those kids who comes on the property has the same rights as a union member that I do, which, you know, I think they don't realize how, you know, how if there's any problem at all, they don't have to face anybody alone, and that's the... Really, what unions is all about. I mean, if you have a problem with a manager, you get yourself in some hot water or whatever, you have somebody who can go in there with you and
represent
you.
It's not like you have to go in there by yourself. Exactly, you know?
It's like belonging to a union.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it opens your eyes up to what other jobs there are out there.
They were singing, by the end of the summer, they were singing Solidarity in their trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if they've worked someplace else, like, say, McDonald's, where they don't have to go up in front of management on their own, then they really would have appreciated what this is like.
Right.
It's funny. My son Tom worked, I won't say the place, so it doesn't matter, but just a regular fast food place, we'll call it. And I found out that the kids, most of them were kids working there, cleaning up nights and things like that, that the manager of the place would actually hit their time clock for them at 12 o'clock. And if it took them to 1 o'clock to clean up, those kids did not get paid until 1 o'clock. And I found out about this, and of course I had to go down there and make a big stink about that because, you know, but that's what that would never happen in a union. Those kids would have been on overtime from 12 o'clock to 1. I just couldn't get over the fact that a manager would actually punch out their clock and make them stay there to clean up the shop on their own time. But that's the real world. I mean, you're outside of the union. So I think what the kids realize in the union that everything is fair. I mean, they get there, if they work 8 hours, if they work 9 or 10 hours, they get paid for it. And from what I can see in the real world, the non-union world out there, that's not the case all the time.
A lot of things you have to do in the non-union world that are kind of understood to be part of your job, but you have no contract, and you don't get any itemization of what you're supposed to be doing. You just end up being told, oh yeah, you got to stay and finish that report.
And of course, there's a whole thing too with seniority. After a while, you've been there for a little while. If a layoff, heaven forbid, comes, you know, you don't. They're just not going to pick you out of the hat and throw you to the wind. They have to go by a certain, and I think, you know, a certain amount of time and seniority. And I think the kids, they don't see that out, you know, in the working for the places that they do. And also, if you work for Verizon or Bell Atlantic Verizon, when you're done with your internship, whether you come and work for us, you know, full time or whatever, nobody's twisting your arm, but even if you don't, when you go out there and apply for a job, and you, of course, have to come up with a resume like everybody else, and I think if you have Verizon summer internship it looks just a little bit better on your resume than, say, the Dunkin' Donut or whatever. Someone's going to go, well, what? Verizon, that's a big company. What did you do there? I was a technician. You know, just a little thing. It's not a little thing, but a thing like that, I think, is going to help a kid get any kind of a job after high school, whether it be Verizon or whatever.
We took